try to discern what happens to our spirit versus what happens to our minds and emotions, we sometimes land into a big pile of trouble. But our God is faithful, and He knows exactly what to do and how to take care of us. I'd like to take you with me to Psalms number 51. And King David is actually singing a song, and he's singing to the Lord to have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak, and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Now, I had actually three things that the Lord had given me today, and I had no clue where He was going to lead me. I had no clue. I just released it back to Him. I've got a message that the Lord gave me out of the Amplified. I've got another one back here. But this is the one He said to go to because of what He did underneath the altar. While I was underneath the altar, He had me repenting for the sins of my fathers. How many know you may have weaknesses that are not just something you've carried for the moment? And not necessarily fathers, not meaning excluding mothers. Okay? And he's actually declaring a truth that many, many Christians blame themselves for the weaknesses they have, and rightfully so in a sense, but in another sense, they've inherited the weakness from past generations. And I went into the realm of the spirit for a while. I was right underneath that altar. I wanted to grab the eagle because I wanted to ride on it. But I thought, well, if anybody sees me reaching out, they're going to have a, you know, the hand sticking out from underneath the cloth. I didn't want to freak anybody out. But you see, I knew the Lord told me to be obedient. So I said to the Lord, I'm going to take that eagle and I'm going to ride with it underneath spiritually. So I did. And as I was praying in the Spirit, the Lord had me repenting for fathers and grandfathers. And I went to great-grandfathers. And I heard, but many more generations. And that's what I heard in my heart. Many more generations. Weaknesses that I carry in this flesh that were a part of my past through what was inherited and passed down to me. And if I consistently blame myself, what am I doing? Am I going to run with the Lord in freedom? Or am I going to go into what? Self-condemnation, self-criticism, and the freedom of God is now where? Gone. And this bondage, correct. And the sin consciousness is now so strong that I'm focused on the sin rather than on the solution. Who is my solution? Right. So if I'm all focused on what the evil that was done, okay, because verse 4 says, against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, Now, in most people's reasoning, a child is not guilty of anything at birth. But according to the word of the Lord, it says, sinful from the time my mother conceived me, surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. You teach me wisdom. That means there's learning that's needed inside of me. There's learning needed within my heart. And of course, verse 7, it says, cleanse me with hyssop, which is what they use to sprinkle the blood, and I will be clean. Well, the cleansing hyssop has been used on this group of believers for several months now. And we've been using the hyssop. Wash me the next level, and I will be clean, or I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Now there's a real mouthful. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Well, you heard our sister tell you that you had to praise in all circumstances, right? That includes when you're crushed. That includes when you're having a problem. That includes when you see the sin nature take over and then leave you hanging, dangling. Sometimes I call it hanging in midair because you don't want to fall back down to the ground. You just want to stay there and wait for the Lord, because if you don't, to have Him carry you through that hardship, you'll really be in problems. Verse 9. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Well, now, it really says that there's creation available from God. And you don't want to have the old heart patched up. Because the old heart is still going to have what? The old stuff. So there's many times that there's controversy in this theology. We say, heal my heart, O God. But in reality, we should be saying, create in me a new heart. Because the old one's still going to be stuck with all the old weaknesses. And even if it's patched up, it's not as good as a brand new one. And the Lord has promised us to create in us everything and recreate. So I've asked the Lord to recreate tonight your hearts. Not to patch it up, not to heal what you've got. Because a healed heart would still have the weaknesses in it. Correct? Now, Peter, when he failed the Lord had said to him, I have prayed for you. So he warned him ahead of schedule. Did you ever have a warning ahead of schedule? And yet, you fall flat on your face, you got egg all over, trying to clean yourself up, and you feel miserable, and the enemy says you will never be able to be used of God again. Do I get any amens? So what is he doing? He's trying to have us tonight not listen to the accuser, but to listen to the Creator. So I would ask that you would change your prayer about healing your heart. And that you would adjust it according to Psalm 51. And if you need to repent for your fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers, etc., go back as far as God tells you. And repent at least 5 generations. That's grace for them. Whatever weaknesses you have in you, that's not a problem for God. And whatever recreation that He needs to do inside of you, it can be done. And it will be done. So that you're not trying to patch up something old, But getting something brand new is a lot sweeter. Amen. Now the Lord's vision showed him carrying, correct? I don't know how many saints he can carry, but I think he's got pretty good arms. So my suggestion is that, you know, if there's areas that you're having a difficulty with, cry out for new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says you are a new creation. When you came to Christ, you are a new creation. Well, what are you trying to do? Patch up something old or go with the new? It's a lot better. It's a lot, let's say, safer from the prayer area. I can remember for a season I was praying for a renewed something. And I said to the Lord, oh, you got to renew this, Lord. You got to make it new, you know. And he says, I'm not going to renew it. I'm going to recreate it. Because if it's recreated, you're not going to be putting up with the failure that you had to begin with. Or the wrong spirit that was actually operating through you at the time that you thought you were so perfect. Did you ever think for a season you were doing okay? Do I get any amens?
Amen.
Thank you. Well, see, when the Lord began to really prod me in this area, he was trying to get me to understand that his willingness to create, and for me to believe for that creation to take place, I had to have faith for it. Because without faith, you cannot please God. So, Mark 11:24 says, believing you have received, it will be done unto you. So our confession should change. And we should begin a new confession of a new heart, a recreated heart, in the image and likeness of Jesus. So now, instead of putting a patch on it, let's attempt to believe for the new. Attempt to believe that his ability to make a new heart for me, and a pure heart for me, and to renew a steadfast spirit within me, meaning that my spirit can become steadfast, can become powerful enough to carry me through those hard spaces. How many find that sometimes you're on thin ice? Okay. Well, with a steadfast spirit, you'll be able to go all the way. You'll be able to carry on to that finish line in purity and in wholeness. Now he's crying out, 11, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. A willing spirit is a spirit that says yes in spite of the pain. Verse 13, then I will teach transgressors your ways. Look at the ability for him to now teach his brothers. Amen? See, he's making a declaration. He's having faith to say, I don't care what I had to do. I saw myself fall. I fell flat on my face. But I'm not going to condemn myself or anyone else because I will teach what? Your ways. Well, what is his way? His way is what? A way of salvation, a way of restoration, a way of recreation. So that you won't be what you were. I need to hear that louder.
Amen.
Amen. What I was is not what I can be tomorrow. What I was can die tonight. And the recreation can take over by faith. It can start right now. Amen. Our God says he's a salvation God of today, a now God. And I believe this is a now word. that we can really come together tonight before we leave this room, and we can agree together that this new creation will have impact on me and on you tonight. Not next year or next month. Tonight. And to declare, believing I have received, it will be done unto me. Now, how did you get saved? You declared with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? Romans 10, 9 and 10. And you were told that you were now born. Did you have to wait 6 months? I waited a week because nobody told me I had to declare it. And then I prayed the same prayer again, thinking I failed. The accuser was on my case. And no one was telling me, and I didn't have any knowledge. So I had this wonderful television program that I waited for a whole week. And I said the prayer again, figuring I didn't do it right. So the accuser was working on me then. I was praying with a young man last night from Florida. And been ministering to him for a while. And honest to God, 5 times we got disconnected. 5 times the phone went dead. 5 times I called him back. And on the 3rd try, he said to me, "You know, I really now begin to believe the enemy is upset with us." 5 times. Big deal. We're not going to let go. We're going to call back and many times as needed until we get that victory. Amen? All right. Now, verse 13. "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you." Did you hear that? The fruit is going to be what? Sinners coming back to the Lord. "Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who gave me, and my tongue saves me." I'm sorry. "The God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness." Now, if you were me, had been in his shoes, how much stretching would you have to do in order to sing that song? How much pressure would there be on your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions? Could you sing this song? "Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." So he's depending on whom? The Lord within him. Amen? "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a willing spirit, a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar." Isn't that awesome? To take a step of faith and to declare that I'm righteous in spite of the sin nature that still did get some use out of him and out of me. Out of him and out of me. It says in the last days that the tabernacle of David will be restored. Correct? The Lord showed me that this oil and the oil of hyssop were two of the products that King David had set aside. Because the scripture says that everything was prepared for Solomon. He didn't have to go hunting for anything. The lumber was already in Jerusalem's backyard. The gold was set aside by King David. So was the silver and precious metals and the jewels. Isn't that neat? So what is he doing now? He's going to have a tabernacle of praise in this region. And I know I made us pray a little prayer earlier about being part of the ceiling or part of the walls or part of the paneling in the Holy of Holies. I have no clue which part is going to be which, but I guarantee you this, you're going to need each other. I listened to my sister's message and I was blessed. I was very blessed to be, let's say, to be able to have such freedom come forth out of the saints. And that was such a gift to me. You know, out of the ashes, there will be joy. Out of the hardships where you've been, recreation will be. If there were no ashes, there would be no death. Without a death, you don't have a resurrection. Things are falling into place. I'm excited about the feast coming up. I'm asking you to pray, seek the Holy Spirit. Really search out what your job is. If you have a word from the Lord concerning the feast, let me know. We're interested. We need to learn. Any additions? Any insight in what you saw there? In Psalm 51. The Amplified give you any little nudge? The Holy Ghost is tattling.
I like the verse 8 where it says, the Amplified, it says, make me to hear joy and gladness and be satisfied. That jumped out at me.
All right.
Because sometimes I'm not always
satisfied. So that's a part of the recreation as well, huh? Right.